Woe is me, my mother, that you bore me, a man of strife and contention to the whole land. Such a statement from Jeremiah doesn't say much for the piety of those to whom he proclaimed the counsels of God. Jeremiah was a pessimist, and to the eye of flesh, he had good reason to be one. The earthly fortunes of God's chosen people had been in a downward spiral for a long time. Israel, wanting to imitate the splendid kingdom surrounding them, demanded to have a king. God was not pleased, but a king is what they got. Saul, David, and Solomon all reigned in great splendor, although much influenced by this world's values. Then the kingdom split between north and south. Within 200 years, the northern kingdom had been carried away captive by Assyria. The southern kingdom would survive barely another 125 years beyond that before Babylon would carry it away. And in its last days, during the reigns of Josiah, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin, Jeremiah was the appointed prophet to Judah, the southern kingdom. This book is a picture of the church. Also in these latter days, corruption and wickedness indeed reign in the earth, and the offense is even greater against the first table of the law than against the second. The world is steeped in murder, adultery, lasciviousness, corruption, backstabbing, covetousness, but it is worse than that. Where the heathen nations of antiquity bowed down to wood and stone in gross idolatry, the wise and prudent of this generation often deny the very existence of any God at all. Were that not enough, much of what purports to be the church is itself in confusion. Many who would worship the one true God, even at times the leaders of the church, can't seem to distinguish between the God of those who know not Christ and the Holy Trinity, to whose praise, worship, and glory the church dedicates the entire non-festival half of its year. How poignantly Jeremiah speaks, not to the heathen, but to the church, when he says, "You have played the whore with many lovers." He likens the church's rejection of the God of its salvation to such gross carnal sin. You who are preparing for the gospel ministry will go as the voice of God to a world that was spiritually and to an even greater extent physically wrecked by Satan in the Garden of Eden. You won't have to look in virtual or figurative gutters in order to find evidence. It will show up every day also among the people of your own flock, yea, in your own heart. How can church people do such things? You will hear, and perhaps you will even ask the question yourself. Like Jeremiah, you will be oft provoked, inclined to complain bitterly and ready to throw in the towel. To the eye of flesh, It isn't a pretty picture. You will be distracted by all manner of the sins of the flesh. Drug addiction, broken families, teen pregnancy, alcoholism, and a host of other problems that we call social. However, the primary matter that you will be called to address and heal is unbelief. And that is done by the preaching of the forgiveness of sins to people who have heard the law and repented. What is God's word through Jeremiah to a people who have gone chasing after other gods? It is this: therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. The medicine for sin, from the day of the very fall itself, has been the gospel, the promise of the forgiveness of sins for the sake of the atoning sufferings and death of the incarnate Christ, the Son of God, who would be born of a woman and take upon himself the guilt of all sin. Human reason could not guess it, could not come up with such a plan, and can't understand it. But it is this gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Does your sin trouble you and bring you to despair? The Lord also put away your sin, Nathan could say to David. And your pastor says to you. And so it is. Given such a joyous message, how can the ministry of Jeremiah be so miserable? Woe is me, my mother, that you bore me, a man of strife and contention to the whole world. I have not lent, nor have I borrowed, yet all of them curse me. That's all the thanks I get, Jeremiah seems to say. In order to understand this, you should turn to Jesus himself, where his words are given us by the Apostle John in his 15th chapter. Remember the word I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. It was by the sufferings of Jesus, the just for the unjust, that salvation was accomplished. That suffering has always been reflected in the lives of those who proclaim his salvation. As Christ himself redeemed the world through suffering and death, so also they stoned the prophets and killed those whom God had sent to announce his coming. The sufferings and death of Jesus weren't simply an unfortunate circumstance that happened to attend his earthly life. It was the very means by which you are saved. Likewise, the suffering of the prophets was not incidental, nor was it without meaning that almost all the prophets, the apostles, died martyrs' deaths. The apostles understood this, and that's why they didn't go back to the drawing boards in times of persecution to see if maybe they were doing something wrong. Acts chapter 5 recounts how the council of the Jews, though it was dissuaded by Gamaliel from killing Peter and the other apostles on that certain occasion, beat them commanded them no longer to speak the name of Jesus and then let them go. What did the apostles do? St. Luke continues with the act narrative. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. When you suffer dishonor in your ministry, as did Jeremiah, as did all the prophets, the apostles, and the confessors of the name down through history, it will reflect on Christ, the Holy Son of God, upon whom was visited the utmost shame and agony to take away the sin of the world, which is precisely what you will be there to preach. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.